And his desire was always to better the Irish population's position. And he didn't see that as possible as long as the Irish refused to be involved in socialistic movements and kind of the dominant radical ideology at the time. So he took it upon himself to form a group called the Catholic Socialist Society, which had a column in the main Irish newspaper at the time, the Observer. There was a kind of a running battle debate between him and Catholic clergy and other Catholics within the community, as well as he was also supported by other Catholics who were dissenting voices. And there had always been a dissenting voice within the Catholic community, the Irish Catholic community. It's been small, but it had been there. There's evidence of it going back to even to the 1850s and 1860s when the Catholic Church was dominant. It was still a voice there, and there's evidence of it. And at the same time, one has to point out the Catholic Church wasn't wholly controlling. There was evidence of individual Catholic priests being quite radical. There's evidence of them basically not allowing certain Irish Catholic priests into Scotland for fear that they would radicalize the population. There's evidence of bishops having to Scottish bishops having to severely berate and remove Irish Catholic priests for what they were saying at the pulpit, which was quite radical. Up until 1901, there's evidence of Catholic priests in I think it's East Lothian or Mid Lothian forming groups to protest the Boer War. There's a long tradition of that as well, but nonetheless, it was while they could be anti-imperial and radical in some ways, they were very against the Catholic hierarchy was against the idea of socialism, and they believed it wanted to remove religion, specifically the Catholic Church. Wheatley sought to remove this idea, and I think successfully over a period of about 10 years, through having honest, open debate, through refusing, kind of turning the other cheek when there was a case of a large group of Irish Catholics who had been poked to such fury by their priest, marched with an effigy of Wheatley to his house, burning, trying to kill him. And he stood in front of his door and he took the insults and he didn't back down. And in the end, they walked away. I think in many ways, if you ever believe in an idea of Catholicism, of religion, he showed more of that spirit than the Catholic clergy ever did. And that worked. I think his genuine desire to help people's lives and change people's lives. And when he got into the first Labour government of the 1822 to 1824, he brought in housing bills and various acts which helped actual people in poor areas of Scotland and Northern England. And I think his example and the debates he had with the Catholic clergy and the genuine, more accepting culture in Scotland at the time. Irish people, I mean, by this point, could have been in their sixth to seventh generation and of immigrants. At that point, you're not an immigrant. You're far from an immigrant. But that was what they were perceived as. But I think by then it was changing. I think people were accepting the Irish Catholics, and they were becoming more Scottish Irish, or just Scots, rather than just Irish within Scotland. So it was a process, a long drawn out process of, you know, as we've recounted, about 100 years of the Irish community trying to fit in. I think combined with this conversion to social democracy, at the very least, if not socialism in certain cases, and by the 1820s, the Irish community were in general across the board in all parts of Britain voting primarily for the Labour Party. It would suggest that not only they'd fit in, but they were able to use their kind of their cultural radicalism, find a niche for it within British politics, which suited them very well and allowed them to fit in completely.